the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
Thank you. next step, this marks a new beginning. Thanks for supporting a total reinvention. The soul is still here, but the vibe's a little different. Unpredictable, hide the kids and the women. Sports of all sorts, music, mixed for living. Rep New York City, but ain't the politician. Always bring the heat, Steph baking in the kitchen. Big shout to y'all, I appreciate the listen. Donnie put the rest, but I'm still in the best. In the world of what I do, all y'all know the rest. I live it, I breathe it, I'm the whole definition. The pinnacle, the ultimate, I'm on a new mission. The salty thoughts of Mike Steph, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, the best in the world of what he does. Tap in. What up, people? I said, what up, people? One more time. What up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, featuring the one and only Mike Steph, best in the world of what he does. Yeah, and this week, keeping the fact that I'm celebrating St. Patrick's Day, you know, because Mike Steph is Black Irish. My name this week will be Mike McSteph. Don't worry, I'm not going to be talking in that fake accent or whatever I was trying to accomplish for the whole episode. What up, people? How's everyone doing? I hope everybody's doing great. I'm doing fantastic, if I do say so myself. Yes, I'm back after a long celebratory week of my 1 year anniversary special that is like the little engine that could. I think I can, because even though at the very beginning of the week it was looking bleak, at the end of the week the shit was looking sweet. Yeah, that's a bar right there. So I'm actually going to, this episode is so multifaceted that I did detailed research. Not so much research, but there would not be really that much helter-skelter when it comes to this here episode. I'm going to give you a rundown, and then I'm going to let y'all know what I actually have in store for y'all. Can I have a special treat in store for the unwashed masses out there? Yes, I said it. The unwashed masses out there, that I'm going to sprinkle a little bit of my benevolency onto y'all. So, this episode, I will be getting into three of the major sports this week. I'm not going to be football-centric. I'm not going to be wrestling-centric. I'm not even going to be politic-centric, if that's such a thing. I'm going to talk about my New York Jets, being the fact that it is St. Patrick's Day, and I am decked out in the color green, because you know what? Mike Steph is money. Yeah, that's right. So it's not only just because it's St. Patrick's Day. Truth be told, green is my favorite color of all time. It's not currently my favorite color, but it's my favorite color of all time. But that's neither here nor there. I will talk about my New York Jets and their offseason moves so far this week, because last week was the very beginning of NFL free agency, and I touched upon, you know, one of their losses, but I will get more detail, more depth with my New York Jets, and some of the moves they pulled off this week that, you know, at the very beginning of the week, I was feeling a certain way. Now I'm like, okay, I see the vision. So I'll be talking about that. Then this one actually is for Smitty from the group home in Bergen Beach. I will actually be talking about my Amazons, our Amazons, the New York Metropolitans, and two issues that have sprung up during this spring training. One would be Kota Senga, and the other one would be the polar bear, Pete Alonso. Yeah, I'm giving y'all twice the pleasure, twice the fun. I'm like a Doberman twin. I'm dressed as one. I might as well act like one. So, yes, that will be topic number two. And topic number three, I will actually dip my toe into the NBA water, into the NBA streets. And I will talk about the New York Knickerbockers, Jalen Brunson, what I feel these last 15 games are going to set us up for in the postseason. And then I will give my thoughts on what exactly might be the cause of the malaise from the majority of NBA faithful out there. Now, I am an NBA fan. I'm a fan of the New York Knicks, and I am a fan of the Golden State Warriors. But I would truthfully say, even though normally I don't get really focused until the All-Star break, All-Star break was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I really could care less. I'm looking at it on a periphery view, and I'm like, all right, playoffs time, you know, the playoff is starting to come. You know, it's really trying to, you know, get ourselves ready for seeding. And I just really am having a hard time to really care. It's not so much about my teams. It's just about the product. So, yeah, those will be my three things, my three sports that I will tackle this week. Even though I know I usually say this and it ends up not being the case, this will not be a near two-hour extravaganza. No, it will not. Do you want to know why? I will tell you why. Remember just a few minutes ago when I was saying I had a special treat for the unwashed masses? Yeah. This week, I'm not giving y'all just one episode. I am giving y'all two episodes. Yes. Two episodes. And not only am I just giving y'all two episodes, usually I give y'all the flagship Salty Thoughts of Mike Step Podcast. And then I give y'all a sprinkle of salt, an audio edition, audio only edition, only on the podcasting, the audio's airwaves. No. New year. Well, new year of Mike Steph. New year, new me. I am giving you a double dose of this simply dashing, debonair face, this simply ravishing body of mine on the YouTube streets. So y'all will be getting this episode right now. And then in about a day or two, I'll be dropping another episode. So therefore, I'm giving y'all twice the pleasure for half the time, half your investment, because the slow growth this week really brought my spirits up. I said, you know what? I'm going to give you, man, tell you the truth, I just don't feel like going 2 hours this week. So I figured I have a whole bunch of sports I need to talk about and a whole bunch of non-sports I need to talk about. And I'm going to talk about them both, but just on separate episodes. So yes, we're still on the road to 50, and we're still in a row to 200 concurrently. And guess what I'm going to do? This second special episode that you're getting in a couple days, will not count. Well, actually will count, but won't count as a full episode. So this one actually is episode 46, and later on this week will be episode 46.5, 46 and a half. Yeah, I'm cheating because I really don't want my 200th episode, my 50th episode to coincide with WrestleMania weekend. Nah, that ain't gonna happen. My WrestleMania recap will not be a slash 200 episode extravaganza. That's not gonna happen. So this is for episode 46, episode 46 and a half in a couple days. So I know y'all should be jumping in the joys. I actually hear them dancing in the streets. Yeah, I say dancing on the ceiling. Oh, what a feeling. They are dancing on the ceiling. Yeah, I'm showing my age, but I'm proud age of 47. I spent the weekend with my tribal princess, my granddaughter, Kaya.
for the first time for a long, you know, prolonged time, and it was a great feeling. It was a great feeling. It got actually reinvigorated me. Yes, I, like I said before, and I'll say it again, I acknowledge her as the tribal princess. Yeah, I know she done skipped over the lovely Mia. She done skipped over Main Event K, but they have their nicknames. So I had to give her a nickname, the tribal princess. But I will talk more about that later on. So let's get this show on the road, huh? Without further ado. Good night. I don't know what y'all doing. You're messing with me. I'm telling you, me and StreamYard about to have another feud out this mother effer. You're going to interrupt my catchphrase? How dare you? So we're going to do this shit again. Good night. And goodbye. Bang! Let us begin. The New York Jets offseason moves. Are there enough for us to contend? And when I say us, yes, I'm talking about the J-E-T-S, Jets. I'm talking about Jets Nation. I'm talking about Gang Green, stand the F up. You know, this week, especially the first day or two of free agency, and I'm seeing everybody wheeling and dealing, you know, there's signings, there's trades, there's all type of movement going on in the NFL that I discussed with my partner on Hidden Gems Football last week on this platform, the Mojo King. And I was kind of feeling like that my Jets were asleep at the wheel. And more specifically, this mother effer right here on your screen for my YouTube viewers, Joe Douglas, was sleep at the wheel. After a slow start to the offseason, Joe Douglas finally woke up and started making moves, man. He attacked the deficiency of the offensive line by signing John Simpson from the Ravens, trading with the Ravens for Morgan Moses, who actually was here a couple years ago and shouldn't have been allowed to go, but the cherry on top was the best lineman available. You know who that is? This guy right here. Tyron Smith, former left tackle of the Dallas Cowboys, who we signed to a free agent deal of 1 year, or at least reported, 1 year, $6.5 million deal, probably loaded with a load of incentives. Now, mind you, this move comes with a lot of risk. A lot of risk. And you want to know what risk? I'll tell you what risk. Injury risk. He's missed 37 games over the last 4 years. Now, maybe this gamble is not as bad as the gamble that we did 2 years ago, getting Duane Brown off the scrap heap, past his prime, often injured, and guess what? Once we signed him, he was injured again. But this is a risk nevertheless. Now, by fortifying the offensive line with these moves, Moses, Simpson, Smith, this accomplished so many things. It accomplished a myriad of things. It allowed the Jets to keep AVT at the guard position, which is especially important because he's coming off an injury. He's coming off his second season-ending injury in as many years. The first year, his rookie year. Was it his rookie year? His second year. So same difference. He had a torn bicep, suffered in the Mile High State. Then last year, once again in the Mile High State, suffered an Achilles tendon injury. So they're able to keep him at his strength, even though he's shown the ability to play multiple positions. They kept him at his strength, which is guard. Now, it also opened up plenty of possibilities for us to be aggressive and flexible in the upcoming NFL draft. Hi, Mia.
Hi, Dad.
How you doing?
Good.
You okay?
Hi.
I know. The lovely Mia has made an appearance. We haven't had one of these interruptions in a while, but it's never an interruption. It's more just like an introduction. Ah, that's a bar. Not interruption, introduction. Yeah, give me five. Yeah, high five. But yeah, as I was saying, it opened up the possibility for us to be aggressive and flexible in this upcoming NFL draft. Now, the Jets have the number 10 pick in this draft, and now they have the maneuverability to go so many ways. Right now, we need some skill players on offense, i.e. some pass catchers for the returning Aaron Rodgers. So one of the prospects that they've been linked to pretty much since the mock draft first came out has been tight end prospect from the University of Georgia, Brock Bowers. What up, brother Low Fat? Yeah, I know you know about him. Yeah. I bet you'll be a Jets fan when he comes in the game, Green Nation. But I digress. Or we can trade down and accumulate more picks, since we only got two picks in the top 100. We got a first round pick and we got a third round pick, because we gave away our second round pick in the trade for Aaron Rodgers. Now, or if we don't want to trade down and one of the quality tackles fall to number 10, we could, you know, pick them and have them at the heir apparent to whenever Smith inevitably breaks down. There's so many things that you can do now at that number 10 position. If one of the quarterbacks fall down, I'm not saying we're going to pick a quarterback, but one of the quarterback needy teams behind us possibly will want to trade positions with us. But like, you know what? We need a quarterback. Y'all in win now mode. Y'all don't have time to develop quarterback. Give us that. And we're like, you know what? Give us your pick and give us a number two pick. I mean, a second rounder. And we maybe be in business. Or maybe we can get a number one and a number three, depending on who the person is. It gives us so much flexibility that we can do that. Now, we're not as desperate as we were prior to these moves. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was about this close numerous times this week to come on the airwaves unannounced and tear my Jets a new asshole. Pause. Not me personally tearing them a new asshole, but y'all get the picture. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to be patience is a virtue, and I'm going to remain very patient. Now, Simpson, he grades out more of a run blocker than a pass blocker. But with Breece Hall, his coming off his second year, well, going into his second year off of his ACL injury, and what he showed at the end of this year, at the end of the season, okay, we can get a road grader. Breece Hall could go for like 1,500 yards, baby, just on the ground. We don't really need Aaron Rodgers to be throwing that rock all over the place. So if we got somebody stout and we could just grind the rock and actually keep our defense, which is taking a couple blows, keep our defense nice and rested, I'll go for that. Now, another glaring spot of need right now is at wide receiver. Reports have come out of Florham Park that the Jets have a meeting with newly released wide receiver from the Chargers, Mike Williams, this coming Monday, or when you're seeing it, today. Now,
At first, I would have been like, look, it's imperative for them to make sure that he does not leave that building without a deal. But he is coming off of ACL tear. Yeah, I know he's missed only 6 games in the last couple years, prior to the ACL tear, but I don't know. Shoot, he wasn't available to them in the playoffs, partly because Staley had him in that meaningless game. That's why Staley is now unemployed. But also, seems like he's always nicked up. He might play. He's always nicked up. Now, the averages that I saw per reception, astronomical. I think there was one year, I think 2019, he had 49 catches for 1,000 yards receiving. That's like 20 yards a catch, which is crazy. But in 2019, did they make the playoffs? That's what I'm saying. So if you can get him for a reasonable number, fine. We need all the help we can get. We really do. Now, more likely, Joe Douglas will probably sign a stopgap at the wide receiver position and probably invest heavily in the wide receiver position in the draft because it's a deep draft. We could probably get a quality wide receiver in the third round, and or maybe we can use that 10 pick to plug, you know, to get multiple players, multiple skill players, if you don't want to divert all your energy into Brock Bowers, a tight end, which, like I said, don't get me wrong. The way things are going now, you go to Sam Laporta in the Lions, and you got the dude in Buffalo, not Knox, the other dude. I forgot his name. But tight end position is becoming or is starting to rear its head back as another important piece, but is it really worth the number 10 draft? I mean, number 10 position? But then at the same time, I gotta realize we have Aaron Rodgers. Knock on wood. That he can do wonders with the dynamic tight end to go along with Garrett Wilson, to go along with Breece Hall. But you know who we need to get rid of? I'll get to in a very few minutes. Now, when I say Joe Douglas might be going on the scrap heap, guess what? I don't want Odell Beckham Jr. No, I don't. Like, if you get him for a minimum, fine. Get it for $2 million? Okay, fine. I don't want him for do you know how much of a bullet we dodged last season? When he went to, he went to Baltimore for like 14, 15 mil? I don't want a reunion with MVS, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Yeah, I know he's a two-time champion. Okay. And from what I remember, him and Aaron Rodgers didn't have the greatest relationship back in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers thought he was green. Hence, why he got exited the fuck up out of there. But you know who we need to get rid of? The brick-handed Alan Lazard, who's being shot in the trade market, and depending on how desperate how desperate we are to part ways with him, he'll probably be cut. And we'll probably swallow a lot of dead money. And you know who else will probably be cut because the trade market for quarterbacks of his ilk is proving to be a dead end? Zach Wilson. Yeah. Justin Fields. This is something, matter of fact, Justin Fields got traded from the Bears to the Steelers for a 6th-round pick. Now, mind you, the Steelers already signed Russell Wilson for the minimum. So now you got Russell Wilson and you got Justin Fields, and it's actually no pressure situation because if Justin Fields, matter of fact, if Russell Wilson is willing to mentor him per se, and at the same time, you know, fortify his position going forward, It's a win-win for the Steelers. It's a win-win for Russell Wilson. It's a win-win for Justin Fields. He has actually a chance just to sit there and view the field. All depends on who they have as the offense coordinator. But, yeah, I say all that because that's something that's the subject I will get into probably later on this week. Yeah, I'll tell you at the end of this program. Zach Wilson, if Justin Fields gets a sixth-round pick, what is Zach Wilson getting? Truthfully, what is Zach Wilson going to get the Jets draft-wise, trade-wise? A bag of beans? No. A lump of coal? Nah, because that's actually useful. A sack of shit? Probably not. Maybe you could use him as some cougar bait? But yeah, it doesn't look good for Zach. It looks like Zach is going to end up on the scrap heap, and the Jets are going to bid adieu to a number two overall pick for nothing going into his fourth year. But that's on Jets light. Now, I spent all this time on the offensive side. I have to give some love to the defensive side. Now, on the defensive front, as I said last week on last week's episode, we lost Bryce Huff to the Eagles. We were never going to franchise him. If anything, we should have locked him up 2 years ago. But with Bryce Huff being gone, he was our leading sack getter last year. There is a vacuum in putting pressure on the quarterback. Sans Jermaine Johnson. We expect Jermaine Johnson to take that next leap, hopefully into superstardom. After what we saw this past year, we hope Will McDonald takes that first leap into credibility. But we still need somebody, hopefully somebody on the line, to take the pressure off of Quinnen Williams. Quinnen Williams had a phenomenal year, even though the numbers might not match up. That's because he was actually gobbling up so many blockers, so much attention after that phenomenal year that he had in 2022, that the numbers just didn't match up, but he had a great year. Now, word going around is, we have our eyes on Jadeveon Clowney. He's scheduled for a meeting in Florham Park this coming Tuesday. In the ESPN article, it was noted that we might have to try to pick up some of the slack from the departing Huff by signing Clowney, or if we sign Clowney, or it might just be that he will be a potential stopgap, potential replacement for John Franklin Myers, who, despite a stellar year, is due to make $16 million on the cap this year. Look, JM is all right. I'm not his biggest fan because it seemed like he always made an asinine penalty at the worst time. Then 9 times out of 10, it always cost us points. I'm not ready to put him in this category, because I swear that's the only time you ever saw Alan Lazard with the ball in his hands. I mean, shoot, tell you the truth, that probably was a freeze frame, and he probably dropped the ball soon thereafter this picture was taken. But yeah, JLM, 16 mil? Nah, I ain't seeing it. So maybe we can get Jadeveon Clowney into the building and put him with this guy leading the defense, CJ Mosley, and we can actually just build upon, you know, a solid season that he had last year in Baltimore. Now, my last topic dealing with the Jets is this guy, CJ Mosley. CJ Mosley reworked his contract to spread out the $17 million that he had guaranteed this upcoming season, his final season, and to spread that hit to 2 years. So he'll probably be with us, barring injury. Barring a
rapid decline in pay, he'll probably be with us going into 2025, but only at a $13 million guaranteed hit spread out those 2 years. Now, I will say this, because like I said, I respect this game. I respect this more about him. Yes, he does make the defense go. But, and some would say that he is the heart and soul of said defense. But more importantly, there's something to be said about someone wanting to be here for the long haul, going through all the futility, going through all the embarrassment, going through all of the losing. Yeah, I know people can, the cynical person could be like, look, he got his bread, so why does he matter? Trust me, if you're in the trenches, no matter how much bread you have, the competitor in you wants to win. The competitor in you wants to get into the tournament. The competitor in you wants to actually fight for that ring. And not only is he wanting to be here for the long haul, not only does he want to be here and be part of the reason for the turnaround, for the potential championship pedigree that we may have on this team. Yeah, I know. I'm going to pump my brakes. But he's not only speaking it, he's walking the walk. He's not only talking with his mouth, he's talking with his pocket. Because I'm quite sure he can get a stellar contract, maybe a longer length contract elsewhere. And CJ Mosley is trying to be a JET jet for life. Yeah. So, whew. Matter of fact, I'll take the rabbit out the hat right now, since I'm wrapping up my football talk. I'll reiterate at the end of this episode. This week, and I might be talking out of school, but I figured, look, I usually don't promote shit, but I'm going to promote this. Sometime this week, there will be a special edition of HGF, Hidden Gems Football, on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. Go to their channel, like, subscribe, and press that notification button, so when me and the Mojo King pop up on that screen, whatever the hell we feel like talking about with these off-season moves, you will be the first one to see it. Yeah. So, the polar bear, Pete Alonso, is in his walk year of his contract. And there's been some news over the last couple of days emanating out the mouth of Steve Curran, Uncle Steve, about the potential future of Pete Alonso of the New York Metropolitans. Just like the banner says, contract talks have gone polar bear cold. Pete Alonso. Now, the Mets brass say that the contract extension talks have gone cold with the polar bear, Pete Alonso. Now, Uncle Steve said recently that he doesn't expect the long-term deal inked before the end of this upcoming season. Ain't that a bitch? First and foremost, because he is a Scott Boras client, and that Scott Boras is the same Scott Boras who is famous for taking his clients into free agency to get optimum value. I get it. Also, because Mr. Alonso probably doesn't want the distraction of trying to negotiate during the season. Uncle Steve is confident that it'll be taken care of after the season, just like they did Edwin Diaz and Brandon Nemo in recent years. He also hopes that Pete makes it a no-brainer for him to just back up the Brinks truck and give him whatever the hell he wants by hitting 50 bombs and pretty much forcing his hand to give him the bag. I don't really have much mixed feelings about this, to be honest, to tell you the truth, because you know what you're getting into when you're dealing with a Scott Boras client. Everybody knows. He takes in a free agency. Like, right now, as we speak, we have Jordan Montgomery, still unsigned. What, 2-3 weeks into spring training? We have the dude, the pitcher Snell, still unsigned, 2 or 3 weeks into spring training. And I believe there's something going on with Cody Bellinger, another Scott Boras client. Yes, Smitty, I was actually doing my homework. But my worry, matter of fact, I don't really have a worry. Are they probably going to have to, if he has a decent season, if he has a good season? My only worry with Pete Alonso last year, one of the red flags that popped up was his batting average. His batting average was putrid compared to seasons prior. I mean, he was never a 300 hitter, but 250 to 270 range is something to be expected. The majority of the season, he was in that low 200 range. Even more so, and I could go back based on firsthand knowledge from when me, the brother Zal, and Smitty from the group home went to the Mets game late last season in a game against the Reds, and we was actually able to see his histrionics in the dugout after a poor at-bat. Now, don't get me wrong. I like the passion. I like the fire. But you could tell that he didn't leave that poor outing at the plate. He took it with him. And even when the team was actually rallying and scoring, you could still see in the dugout, he was in his head. Now imagine, and that's why part of me is like, you know what? I don't mind them not negotiating. Because now imagine how much it would affect him if he was negotiating a contract during this season. If he lets an at-bat linger for 2-3 innings at a time, imagine how he would let an ongoing negotiation process linger during the season. The only reason I'm not worried is that if it's about money and his productivity warrants the amount of money that he wants within reason, Uncle Steve will not have a problem. So we think it'll be Mr. Stearns who we have to deal with. Mr. Stearns would look at it like, is he really an analytical player? Is that somebody that we really want to invest big money in? Tell you the truth, I really believe that if we had David Stearns as the GM, Francisco Lindor would not be a New York Met right now because we wouldn't have gave him 11 years, $300-something million. David Stearns wouldn't have believed in that. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's what it is. And from what I'm hearing, they're putting a lot of their eggs in the basket to try to get Juan Soto to jump on that Ford train, connect that transfer at Grand Central, and take that 7 out the Flushing. Yeah, like if you're negotiating for $400 million, like you're really going to be caught on New York City Transit, especially at this time. But that's a rant for perhaps later on this week. Now, do I believe that Pete Alonso will be re-signed if it's within reason? Yeah, I have no worry in that. Do I believe that he should be re-signed? Yeah, because even though we have not reached the postseason with him, it's something to be said about someone who embraces the bright lights, big city of New York. A lot of people come to the Mets
or the Yankees, and they shrivel. They shrivel under the hot lights, under the bright lights. Or they run. They might not shrivel, but they run with their tail tucked between their legs. Like somebody that's name sounds like Jacob. Yeah, doesn't really sound like it. Actually is, but I digress. So, yeah, I personally want to retain him, but within reason. Is he worth $400 million? No. You got to tighten up. You got to tighten up the defensive aspects of your game. And to me, you have to prove. Matter of fact, I won't even say prove to be a leader because LFGM was his brainchild. That's all I need to tell you. Now, this dude right here, Kodai Senga, has a shoulder injury that was bad enough that he needed PRP injections, but that's plasma replacement peas. I don't know. Regardless, he need PRP injections. That's worrisome. Cause that means circulation, something's going on with the circulation in the shoulder. Now, he's starting the season off on the injured reserve. Last season, he was 12-7 with a 2.98 ERA in 166 innings, which last season was also his first in the big leagues after coming over from Japan. Now, with this injury, he was originally supposed to be shut down for 3 weeks, and now they tacked on another 7 to 10 days to that time frame. And I say that, yes, they have tacked on 7 to 10 days to that time frame. All right, much better. Now, he's scheduled to have some more imaging tests done, and if the healing is progressing as expected, he should be back by the end of April. Because you got to realize, 7 to 10 days, that'll mean he's ready to start his throwing, you know, his throwing program. And hold on. Matter of fact, the lovely Mia, I actually have a surprise for you. You have a slice of red velvet cake at the bottom of the refrigerator. Yeah. So you can have door number one, some Intamin's. I don't know. That Intamin's cake, it seems kind of suspect. Not suspect as in it tastes all right, but it seems like overly artificial. I don't know. Maybe it's because I hadn't had it in a while. But yeah, I don't know. It used to be better. Or you can have your piece of red velvet cake behind door number two. So either or, I can't. No, you got both. But I'm just letting you know, you can have the red velvet cake. Because I actually specifically got you a piece of red velvet cake. Yes, she can have her cake and eat it too. Ain't that a bitch? Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, the lovely Mia. Woo! Yeah, see, she got her Ric Flair shit. Woo! Yeah. So as I was saying, the throwing program, usually you gotta build up the arm strength. So all because he might be able to start or continue his throwing regimen in 7 to 10 days, doesn't mean that he's going to be ready for the opening week. No, it's pretty much he's going to be starting spring training about 3 weeks late. So, best case scenario, who are we fooling? With the New York Mets, it'll probably be the All-Star break before we see Kodai Senga, the ace, the one. The Tanahashi of the Metropolitans, for all my New Japan listeners, which is probably only one. But yeah, the Tanahashi of the staff will probably be back around All-Star break, which is July. Maybe June if we're lucky. But April, beginning of May, please. But yeah, so see, Smitty, see, I threw a bone at you. 15 minutes of baseball talk. Before April, if you ask me anything else about what's going on with the Mets, I don't know.
But that's what I said. People call me the benevolent room for a reason. Not only do I give extra episodes to the unwashed masses, not only do I buy my lovely daughter Mia a slice of red velvet cake so she can effectively have her cake and eat it too, I give my people what they want. And they want baseball talk? Well, damn it, you got some baseball talk. Put that in your Crown Royal and drink it. What a difference 2 weeks makes. About 2 weeks ago, Nick Nation was clutching our pearls, holding our collective breaths when Jalen Brunson, and yeah, I'll say it, the savior of the New York Knicks franchise, went down with a non-contact injury to his knee. And we all thought the worst. We all thought, oh, of course, of course, of course. Right when we're on the precipice of something great, on the precipice of something special, our all-star, our, like I said, our savior is going to go down. Like, not only we're going to be without him for the rest of this year, probably going to be without him for at least half of next year. He probably got an ACL. God forbid he has an Achilles injury. Something's going on. Well, he came back. It was termed as a knee contusion. He came back, and he was ready to rock. And rock he has. Jalen Brunson has been on his bullshit. And I say that in the best of terms, in the best of ways. Do you know yesterday against the Sacramento Queens, the Sacramento Kings, light the beam, light the beam? Well, that beam wasn't lit out that mother effer last night. Jalen Brunson became only the fourth Knick in New York in Knick history and the first New York Knick since Carmelo Anthony in the 2012-2013 season to have back-to-back 40-point games. He dropped 45 in Portland the other night. And then last night, he followed it up with a 42-point masterpiece against said Kings. Now, this West Coast road trip, they're currently 2-0 with the matchup against my Golden State Warriors tonight, Monday, in the Bay at Chase Center. And you know who I'm going to be rooting for? Don't let the name fool you. I will be rooting for my New York Knicks. Y'all don't realize. Y'all have no idea. Take him off the screen for a minute. Even when I did divulge my dual fandom of both the Golden State Warriors and the New York Knickerbockers, I'm from the Rotten Apple. I'm from the Crown. I'm from Brooklyn. I am a New York Knick fan to the day that I die. I'm not like a fair weather mother effer that you see on ESPN multiple times a day, weekly. That when they're high, he wants to get on the bandwagon. But when they stink, he threatens to have a boycott in front of Madison Square Garden. And that said boycott actually put us behind 5 years because James Dolan was so scared of the negative publicity that this cocksucker was going to bring to the Garden. He brought the worst person ever involved in front office politics in Phil Jackson to the Mecca. And Phil Jackson effectively tried to destroy us from the inside out. He effectively damaged Carmelo Anthony's career until he was able to reclaim some of that glory toward the end of his career in Portland. I don't count the Lakers season. Lakers season was whatever list, bucket list item. Like, all right, me and LeBron on the same team. Check. All right, I'm out. So I am a New York Knicks fan. So if I have my two teams, of course I'm going with home team. Look. Golden State got four rings. Seven altogether, but four over the last decade. My Knicks have been to the finals since 99. That's 25 years. I know this is a meaningless regular season game. It's not meaningless to us. Because this game is a chance to avenge a loss a couple weeks ago at the Garden. The Knicks are 4-1 in their last five games. Okay. Even more importantly, in those five games, do you know that they've given up less than 100 points in all five games? And even more importantly, or even more impressively, they've given up less than 80 points in three of those five games. Think about that. OG and Anunoby came back against Portland, and he tweaked his elbow, which is concerning. But he's been gutting through the pain, so, you know, so far, so good. But here's another stat. Since OG was retained in the trade with the Toronto Raptors for RJ, thoughts and prayers to RJ on losing his brother. And I hate that saying, thoughts and prayers. But I, my heart goes out to you, brother. It really does. It really does. But since we've gotten OG, in the games that OG played with the Knicks, we're 15-2. Now, the Knicks are currently sit in the number four position. We're the fourth seed in the East. But more importantly, we're only two games out of the third seed currently held by the Cavaliers. And with 3.5 games out of the number two seed currently held by the Milwaukee Bucks. It's still a possibility and something that we can shoot for. Now, the Cavs have stumbled since the All-Star break. They're barely a 500 team since the All-Star break. And with 15 games remaining, if we, the New York Knicks, can get the band together and get Randle back for at least, I want to say at least, hopefully 10 of those games. Because he's close. He's working out. He's just waiting to be cleared. But you need to have enough time to try to integrate him back into the flow because he's been out for a while. And you know, Randle is going to take a while to, because right now we're the Villanova Knicks. Dante DiVincenzo, what a pickup. Josh Hart, with all the injuries, he's finally gotten the attention that he's wanted, but he's playing phenomenal. Like, as a guard, to constantly be in double digits rebounds, like, that's, and that three-headed monster, the reason I say three-headed monster, because his head is led by Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson was the dude, he was the head at Villanova, and right now with the Knicks, with his two Codys behind him, on the side of him, matter of fact, not behind him, on the side of him, he's feeling no pain whatsoever. Feeling no pressure. So, if we add Randle back to this mix, and Randle shows that he can kind of round back into form, that takes even more pressure off Jalen Brunson. And we have something that we didn't have last season. We have a confident person at the two and Dante. And we have a little bit more punch off the bench. Now, I'm not saying give a lot of minutes to Alec Burks and Bogdanovich. But still, we still got snipers at any given time. Think the Knicks gonna do big things. I know the Knicks are gonna do big things. I got it in my DNA that they're gonna do big things. But moving along. Yeah, I said it. The NBA has a problem on their hands. And I know you're probably like, what do you mean the NBA has a problem on their hands? Like, I just said that for some reason this season, I have not been able to really, really, really get into NBA action. And it's not, and it has no fault to do with the performance of my teams. Like I said, the Knicks with 40 and 27. If it wasn't for these injuries, I'm quite sure we'd probably be firmly solidified in that number three seed and probably be battling with the Bucks for that number two seed. Dare I say we might have been a number two seed if it wasn't for the spatter injuries that we had. But I'm not saying that Golden State being mired in mediocrity for the majority of this year due to a lot of their own doing, due to Draymond Green's tied act, due to Klay Thompson pressing harder than he should because he wants that bag in the offseason, and he's having to come to grips with, I mean, he's coming off the bench right now, which is great, but he had to come to grips with, like, all right, Klay, you're not game six Klay no more. And it's all right if you claim that. And finally, it took him a while to realize, okay, fine. I'm not game six Klay, but I'm a damn good Klay. And I could anchor off the bench. But regardless, they're the number nine seed. Has nothing to do with those teams. It has something to do with, I'll tell you the truth, I'm not the only one that says this. I'm not the only one that said this. That they're just not into the day-to-day machinations anymore. Like, this game's this one. I'm just like, okay. My Knicks, all right. When we get to the playoffs, I'll be locked in. But it's like, I don't know if it's, I'm not saying they should chop down the amount of games, but just something about it. Like, but what it comes down to is, who is to blame for the NBA not being as must-see TV as it used to be? Is it the players or is it the league itself? Like, there is a new guard of players right now. And Steph is not one of them. LeBron James is not one of them. This new guard of teams and players in the league. Look at the standards, especially in the West. You have OKC. You have Denver. And you have the T-Wolves. Which is crazy because matter of fact, like I said, look at the standings, especially in the West. You got OKC, led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You have Denver with the two-time, should be three-time MVP in Nikola Jokic. And then you have the Minnesota Timberwolves, who right now, I believe, either number two or number three in the West. I mean, the top three teams are only separated by like a game and a half, led by this dude, Anthony Edwards. Now, I mean, unless you're a hardcore fan, can you name the starting five on the T-Wolves? Or the Thunder? I mean, here's a pop quiz. When it comes to Zion Williamson, do you think he's playing? Do you know if he's playing? Do you know if he's injured? Do you know how many games he's actually played this season? Think about it. Is he being promoted? Or is he being chastised on in the media for loving his food? Or being too big? Or, like, that's just part of the problem. Like, why are we still having LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers push down our throats? They're a number 10 seed. I don't want to hear any type of debate of, well, you know, if they can get through that play-in, you know, nobody in the top eight want to deal with LeBron. He's a number 10 seed. They're four games over 500. Does that what a title contender make? I'll even go with my Golden State Warriors. They're nine seed. Like, you mean to tell me they're really a serious contender to a championship? Think about it. Are they really a serious contender to a championship? No. No, they're not. Like, this is not going to be like the Miami Heat part due from last season. And that's the problem. The focus is on everyone except the people that are going to be counted on to keep this machine going, to keep the NBA where it was. I'm not even going to say where it's at, where it was. You're trying to squeeze all of the juice, all of the water, all of the blood out of a turnip. Like, and I know I'm going to catch some heat with my brother Ty, but I'm going to use the Suns as an example. To me, right now, the Suns are also ran. They had the opportunity when they got to game six of the NBA Finals in 2021, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't get over the hump. Once they disbanded that team, that was it. Right now, they're big three in name only. Like, you got KD on the backside of his prime, if you want to consider his prime, but regardless, let's say the backside of his prime. You got Devin Booker, who has the personality of a cardboard, not a cardboard cardboard itself. And you have Bradley Beal when he's there, if he's not injured. And Bradley Beal is kind of showing why he didn't want to leave Washington all those years, why he didn't want to get traded out of Washington all those years. Because to me, he's being exposed for, yeah, he's a good player. Is he a superstar? No. Is he somebody you can plug in as a third option on a championship caliber team? I did say no. That's my opinion. The Clippers are an expected injury away from being a wrap also. Like, it already started. The dominoes already started to fall. You know, you got Russell Westbrook out, surgery on his hand. Then you had Kawhi Leonard out or couldn't finish the game on one quarter in due to back spasms. Paul George probably going to be asked to carry the mantle into the playoffs. Am I being a little bit overdramatic? Possibly, but this is the same thing we see every year. And tell you the truth, the NBA as a whole should not be pinning their hopes on this iteration of the Clippers. Maybe the Clippers franchise, because they will actually be the marquee team in LA over the next 10 years. Because listen, as much as the Lakers have that historical lore, it seemed like Jeannie Buss is more concerned about kikiing up with LeBron and, oh, thank you. Matter of fact, that's unfair. But do you really think Jeannie Buss is going to be able to structure a team in this environment to be championship contender year after year after year? If that was the case, then what's happened for the last 5 years of LeBron? Exactly. 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 Now, you go to the East, and then there's some intrigue, but everybody in the media is so quick to try to get their jokes off on the Knicks or on the Knicks' expense that they're actually missing a great story, a story that the league should harp upon, that this once moribund franchise in the Big Apple has done it the correct way through the draft, through key free agent acquisitions. And they put together a team of complementary pieces that maybe, they're one piece away. Yeah, I would say maybe one piece away, not a superstar. I'm tired of hearing everybody talk about, yo, maybe we could get Joel Embiid. Maybe we could get this person. Maybe we could get that person. No, fuck that. Leave them where they're at. We got something going. Remember, just a couple years ago, Kyrie and KD went to my home borough, Brooklyn, laughing, thought they were going to do sneak shit. Come to the borough, come to the city without all the pressure and talk about, yo, the Knicks ain't cool. Well, guess what? Nets ain't cool. Nets wasn't cool when you was there. 2 years later, pew, gone. Because they wasn't about that smoke. They wasn't about that action. We got people in the Knicks that want to be here. We got people in the Knicks that are thriving being here. But that's not juicy enough for the media. You know, it's so used to orange and blue sky. Orange and blue sky, baby. Orange, blue sky. Get the fuck out of here. Why don't you just come home already? Just shave all that shit off. You're 56. Like, grow up. Now, the Celtics. The Celtics are bland. Jason Tatum can be the face of the league, but he's a mute. Jaylen Brown has the money in one hand, but at least, he's vocal about things, assumptions, but, you know, listen. The Celtics are like the Buffalo Bills from the 90s. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Like, and them doubling down by trying to keep Brown and Tatum together. Yeah, all right, they got Porzingis. Okay, well, guess what? Porzingis, I guarantee you, not wishing on, I guarantee you, Porzingis going to get hurt. Then what are you going to do? You're going to be back down to Brown and Tatum. And guess what they're going to get you? To game 7 of the conference finals and get eliminated. Giannis is what it is. He got Dame, but to me, the sad part is, to me, Dame got to a contender too late in his career. It's a great personal story for him to actually be, quote unquote, fighting, playing for championship contention. Yeah, but is it generational? Nah. This dude right here that I'm about to put on the screen, because I did have it. This dude right here, Tyrese Haliburton, he's a problem. He has game. He has the personality. And he has a team trending in the right direction. I mean, that run in the in-season tournament, yeah, I know it was early in the season, but that got them on the map. That got him on the map. Not saying he needs to be on the map, but that got him as, oh, he's one of them. Yeah, he's one of them guys. The only problem in promoting him is the fact that it's in Indianapolis. It's a problem. This is the problem that needs to be looked at, because I'm going to end on this. Because like I said, during the playoffs, I'm going to have my little playoff commentary. I don't know how engaged I'm going to be if it's outside of my Knicks, but I'm going to have my commentary. And I guarantee you, everything I'm saying right now is probably going to be twofold in the playoffs. LeBron James is going to be 40 years old. He's coming. Yeah, you know he's coming back next season. If it ain't nothing but an award tour for LeBron and my man. Steph is 36. He's going to be 37 going next season.
And those two are the only winners that we have had in the last decade for the most part. Not counting Kawhi, not counting Jokic, not counting Giannis. Think about that. And if no one player or the league doesn't step up to fill that gap, fill that vacuum that's going to happen within the next year or two, it's going to be huge, because that gap is huge. Gap, you can feel it now. And the in-between fans and the casual fans will leave as just as quickly as they came. And a lot of people are going to be holding a bill that they can't pay. And I'm talking about the owners, because salaries ain't never going to come down. The NBA is actually a perfect microcosm of the have and the have-nots. What are we going to do, NBA? What are we going to do? Remember all the saying? We love this game. It's fantastic. Yeah, am I dating myself for 90 references? Yeah, but this is the stuff that we used to have. We used to have, the show that used to play on Channel 4 or NBC on Saturday mornings with Ahmad Rashad. These were the things. We had Space Jam, the original Space Jam, not this putrid shit that LeBron tried to pull over everybody's ears, eyes, whatever. But we had true engagement with the hardcore fan, the casual fan, and the passerbys. Now, it's just like, okay, NBA on. All right, what else? I got apps. I got an app to follow the game to see if my team of choice is winning. And I got other apps that I can watch something more enticing, more enjoying. I'm telling you, it's going to be a problem, NBA. You need to try to rectify this situation ASAP. Well, people, that brings us to the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike's Step podcast. I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me the podcast y'all choose to view and the podcast y'all choose to listen to. As I said at the beginning, and I will say it again at the end, this week I'm giving the unwashed masses. Yeah, that's right. The unwashed masses. Yeah, you, and you, two episodes this week. This one that you just finished viewing, and I will double back and drop again on the YouTube streets another bonus episode, episode 46 and a half of the Salty Thoughts of Mike's Step podcast. Yeah, so trust and believe. Please like, subscribe, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend, share, comment. Please comment, because that's the sustenance, that's the nutriment that we need to grow. We need to grow. And listen, I'm never about the numbers. Because if I was about the numbers, I wouldn't have made it a year. I wouldn't have made it 5 years doing this bullshit. I'm not about that. But I am about communication. I am about support. I am about chopping it up. So if you liked or you didn't like what the hell you saw, write down in the comments, yo, Mike, yo, what's good? Yo, Mike, keep up the good work. Yo, Mike. Yo, your shit was lacking. Yo, Mike, fuck you. Yo, Mike, you suck. It's all good. It's all good. Look, I come from the school just like wrestlers. Any type of feedback is great feedback, because if not, it's almost like you're a tree in a forest. And if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, did it actually fall? Plus, I'm raging a war against StreamYard, because they constantly sabotaging my streams. I'm raging a war against, actually not raging a war against YouTube, but the algorithm at large. Because I try not to go with gimmicks. Mike Steph, real name, no gimmicks. But that's neither here nor there. So I'm coming back two times. I'm going to get to this quick plugs, because I'm going to get up out of here, because the reason I'm splitting this in half, so I won't go 2 hours.
First and foremost, check out the audio version, the mothership, the flagship, if you will, of the Salty Thoughts and Mike Step podcast audio version, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music, amongst others. New episodes, audio episodes, drop each and every Wednesday. On the social medias, you want to holler at me, check me out on X at Mike Steffens double underscore. Check me out on the gram at Mike double underscore Steph, and check me out on TikTok at Mike Steph single underscore. Yeah. Am I going to respond? Maybe, maybe not. And I would give y'all my Facebook, but nah. I got too many bots over there as is. Don't need another. Yeah. Also, since we're at it, check out Hidden Gems Football. That's right. Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself. New episodes during the football season drop each and every Thursday on the 19 Media Group YouTube channel. And as I said earlier, you know, I might be talking out of school, but listen, it is what it is at this point. This week, sometime this week, we will be dropping an off-season edition, because there's been so many transactions that's going on in the world of the National Football League. And we gave you a little teaser last week when the Mojo King popped in on my year anniversary special, talk about, give y'all his views on NFL free agency, that we said, you know what, let's rev up the machine and let's get back on our grind. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be a every week thing. I'm going to say it's going to be an every month thing. But, you know, being the fact we are a football show, we should talk about the football moves that are happening in the sport of football, right? Right.
Say it to you slowly and it may sound scandalous. I don't think that you can handle this.
Yeah. That's coming this week on the YouTube channel of the 19 Media Group. And while you're over on the channel 19 Media Group, check out my brothers from Gimmick Infringement, Winchester and McDowell, or McDowell and Winchester, each and every late Sunday night, early Monday morning. Not only on the YouTube streets, but in audio form on all. And when I say all, I mean all streaming platforms, wherever podcasts are available. Check them out, because they're more than just wrestling. They're more than just a promo of the week. They're more than just a Rose from Tyler. Side note, let me know when you do go and check out Gimmick Infringement. The boy Tyler should have some bags under his eye. The boy Tyler should have that little scratch in his voice. The boy Tyler should look a little bit run down this week, because I know he was lacking some sleep. And that's what I'm going to be out of looking for. And then everything else is going to come after. But yeah, I say all that to say, peace to Tyler. Peace to Brad. I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Appreciate everything that y'all, which God support me with. And yeah, which God, one love.
Say it to you slowly and it may sound scandalous. I don't think that you can handle this.
Not that. But last but not least, I do want to let the masses know, the dozens and dozens of Mike Steph listeners and viewers, that I have kind of revved up the blog machine again. I have a current blog on WordPress.com. The address of that, and I should have just wrote it down so you could see it down there, but the address of that, and I'm just going to say it, is MikeStephOrg.wordpress.com. I'll have more information next week, but yeah, the times that I have some salty thoughts I want to get off my chest, that either i.e. I don't feel like revving up the stream yard, i.e. I don't feel like doing an audio, you know, which called car studio edition, i.e. I don't feel like doing an audio only edition, check out the blog. I dropped one. Well, have one entry, and I'm currently working on my second entry. I'm going to try to be a little bit more active than I was almost a decade ago when I actually tried this blog. And I did, I think I did like three entries. And then I said, you know what? I don't got time for this shit. I need to rap. Yeah, see where that went. So it's a minute. It's an hour and 20. So I'm about 15 minutes over, more than what I was trying to do. So I'm going to get out of here while I'm getting this good. Stitch, yeah, I'm leaving you for last again. Yeah, but see, I got you rocking with me. So you got anything to say to the people? Oh, he wants to know how come he got designated to wear the black hat and I got designated to wear the green hat. Well, Stitch, look at my outfit. Look at your outfit, or should I say skin? The green would not go along with your skin. The green goes along with my outfit. Hence, plus, it's St. Patrick's Day and Mike Steph is Black Irish. What are you, an alien? Well, yeah, you are an alien. So... know your role and shut your mouth. Anyway, sorry I had to see that. Told him last week, keeps on playing. Keeps on playing with me. He's not going to be on the screen any longer. He's going to be on the SummerSlam screen someplace else, probably in the trash heap. But yeah, with all that being said, I'm going to get out of here. I'll check you on in a couple days. So yeah, getting out of here. Goodbye. Not only goodbye, but...
bye.